his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he cared.
A man fell in a hole. He fell in a hole and he couldn't get out. A traveler passed by. He told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. Another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist, and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was not there. Another visitor arrived. He instructed the man to perform good deeds to improve his karma, and though he would still die in the hole, he might be reincarnated as something magnificent. Another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray 5 times a day facing east and to follow 5 important tenets. If he was faithful, one day, perhaps, the divine would set him free. The man prayed as best he could. But he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Another man appeared. There was something different about him. He called down to the man in the hole and asked him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the earth, into the pit. He took hold of the man. Dragged him into the light. And the man in the hole, who could not get himself out, was saved.
Good morning. Let's do that one more time. Except I want to do it a little bit different this time. If you are happy to be in the Lord's house today, and this is where you would want to be beyond any other place in the world this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now. All right. All right. I have just a few announcements. You saw most of them on the screen. I do want to highlight Cartwright Men's. Sometimes people don't watch the screen. But Cartwright Men's is tomorrow at 7 p.m. Scott, do you have anything to tell us about that?
Just everybody dialing in by the phone. It's at 7. Carrie George's crew is hosting. And I'm not sure exactly what they have. I think Ms. Dawn's helping out with that. But the other thing I did want to mention was the 33 starts this Tuesday at 7:30 with Trey. And 6 o'clock Wednesday morning with me. So y'all try to make it. Man, if you hadn't signed up, don't worry about that. Come on, we'll get you a book.
Thank you, Scott. Patrick, do you have any announcements for the youth?
There's no youth committee meeting today. No youth committee meeting. Also, no league. We'll be in here listening to the Honduras group. So young people that show up in the sanctuary. And it was on the board twice. Next Sunday, we're having our youth dinner, barbecue, turkey, green beans, rice, gravy, rolls, and dessert. And we also have sweet tea and lemonade. So make plans to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Dr. Blank has an announcement for us at this time.
Along with that announcement, I'm going to ask you to pray for Tanya this morning. Mary Ann is going to lead in her place. Her back has gone out, and she's in quite a bit of pain this morning. So do remember Tanya, who'd like to be here for the service. Also, we do want to mention that Dr. and Mrs. Green and Gladys and I were able to go to Charlotte last evening to the airport and be with Tom and Lois before they left out. We did get back at about midnight last night, so if I kind of leave music like this morning, you'll understand why. But had a good time with them. I think all their children except Tim and his family who are in the mission field were there with us. And Tom said, Pastor, please be sure to go back and tell our church, our pastor and Brother Walls and the whole church family, thank you for praying for them. Somewhere around 40 years now that they've been related with us. And as they go back to Africa, be much in prayer. Right now, they're sitting in London for 8 long hours before they can fly on into Africa. So do pray for Tom and Lois Jackson as they're on their way back to Zimbabwe. I think that's all I want to mention at this particular time.
Thank you, Dr. Blank. Are there any other announcements? Brant? So you get 2 of your 3 meals next Sunday covered. Okay. Thank you, Brant. Are there any other?
I just wanted to invite anybody who does not sing in the choir on a regular basis, we will be starting cantata practice. So there will be no practice tonight because of Tanya's back situation. But y'all just be thinking about it and praying about it. Even if you don't sing in the choir on a regular basis, we would love to have you join us for the cantata. And Tanya will let you know exactly when those practices start, but it will be soon.
Okay, thank you. I think Laura had something.
Good morning. I have to apologize. I meant to thank all our Back to School Bash volunteers last Sunday, but we were already into prayer time before I remembered. So this is your moment. I want to say thank you. We had over 50 volunteers, which was incredible, and we really, really, really appreciated it. I even called a couple of people literally 20 minutes before it started, and they showed up to help do a few things that we needed done. So be expecting a survey-type questionnaire in the mail. I wasn't sure if everybody wanted to come back for another meeting, but we needed some feedback from y'all on your area, so we're going to be mailing out a questionnaire to you. If you'll fill it out and you can put it in either Trey's box or Patrick's box in the middle office, or you can hand it to us at church. You can mail it back. Just if you'd get it back to us, that would be great. And Miss Paula Yoder and Mr. Ray are going to be coming to service tonight, and Miss Paula loves to play chicken foot. We played one other time with her, and so I told her I'd try to get together some ladies to play. So if you don't have anything to do this afternoon, if you don't normally take a Sunday afternoon nap, I'd love for you to come out to the fellowship hall around 3:30. She thinks they'll be in town about that time because they're at another church in Darlington this morning. But however many ladies come, I think we'll have three or four sets here. If you've never played chicken foot, it's really fun. So we'll teach you how to do it. I hope somebody refreshes my memory, actually. But anyways, 3:30, fellowship hall, and we'll have a little time of fellowship. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura. Is that all the announcements we have this morning? If so, let's go with the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this awesome privilege, Lord, this morning to be in your house, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each other, for the help that you allowed us to be here, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for the abundant blessings you've given us all week long, Lord. And Father, we're here today, Lord, to just offer that worship back to you, Lord, and sing praises to you, Lord. And Father, we just love you, Lord, and we thank you. And we just, Lord, we lift up all these, Lord, that couldn't be with us this morning, Lord. And Father, we just pray for them. And Father, Lord, as Dr. Walls leads us this morning in the message, Lord, Father, we just pray, Lord, that Lord, we just all take home something, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Truly, this is the day the Lord has made. And again, we can say we're rejoicing in it because we're part of the family of God. Joining together, let us sing the call to worship. We have come into his house, followed by number 21 hymn, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Let us stand together. We have come into his house, joining together in praise. Stand up and bless the Lord, singing together.
Fire above our And while you're standing, please bless those around you with a greeting this morning.
Psalms 121 is obviously a great psalm, but one of the many promises made within those short few verses is simply this, that the Lord never takes a break. He never slumbers, nor does he sleep. In other words, you know, there's times I need a break. There's times I need to get some rest and step out and get away, but the Lord never does. He's always watching over us, and because he's always doing that, we can have complete faith in him and his control. Let's pray. Lord, our God, this morning we take great comfort in this very truth, that you're never on break, that you're always looking out and over us, and that, Lord, as the psalmist proclaimed, you won't let our foot slip. You're going to hold us up. You're going to lead us in the paths in which we need to travel. And so, Lord, we praise you for that this morning. And while we're praising you, we want to praise you for the cross. Lord, we've messed up so many times in so many ways, and Lord, our sin is so real, and yet you love us. You reached out your hand to us, and you pull us out of the pit of our sin, the pit of our death, and you bring us into the light and into life, and we praise you for that this morning. I mean, it's part and parcel why we're here, to magnify your name, is because of the salvation that you've given to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit amongst us this morning, even to intercede for us, Lord, because most of the time we really don't even know the right words to pray. And God, I am so thankful that your answers go way beyond my request, that you have a clearer and better understanding of things that are going on that I just don't. And so, Lord, in my incompleteness, in my lack, Lord, I know that you are always sufficient, and I thank you that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us this morning. And God, we pray, Lord, that as we give you our lives, that we would do so in great expectation for this coming week, believing that you're going to truly use us and work in us. And Lord, we pray that again, that you would fill us with power, and that even as we're here gathered, that there would be power in our praise and in our worship. Because the truth is, it is our desire to be in your presence. It is our desire to give you glory. So we praise you for these things this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Faces line the
Ushers, if you would come forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much again, Lord, for allowing us to be here today, Lord. And Father, we realize, Lord, that everything we have comes from you, Lord. And Father, as we give back this portion this morning, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you bless it and use it for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just before Pastor Walls comes and shares the message that the Lord has given to him this morning, we will sing hymn number 511. Following that, the quartet, the Mel Quartet, will be doing a special selection. Trust will be a blessing to your hearts. And while we sing this particular hymn, 511, we again will dismiss our children and children's church workers for their place of worship. Let us stand together. Jesus, my Lord, singing together.
Jesus, my Lord.
Church, and you may be seated.
What if we spent as much time talking about God as we spent talking about the weather? No, really, isn't weather one of those topics that everybody talks about? I mean, it just doesn't matter. You can walk up to a stranger and if you can't say it, you'll talk about the weather. And it always interests me, we talk about the weather, but wouldn't it be great to... if you were a meteorologist. Now think about this one for a little bit. What other job can you be wrong as much as a meteorologist is wrong and still every day we tune in to see what they have to say? I mean, we know. They're probably going to miss it again. But we listen anyway. Isn't that crazy? And the truth is, I'm not trying to denigrate them. Not really, because the truth is no one can control the weather. I mean, they can... They're doing better than they've ever done. I mean, they can give us ideas that they'll give us, well, there's such a percentage chance that there'll be severe weather in this geographical region, but they can't say for sure it will form, and they certainly can't tell us exactly where it will form because they can't control it. But we tune in, and why do we? I think we tune in because we realize, we're constantly reminded that isn't nature or the power of nature, isn't it one of the strongest forces that we know on this earth? Whether it's hurricanes or tornadoes or volcanoes or tsunamis, whatever it is, we've got those images, right? We've seen the newscast and we've seen the destruction that nature can wreak upon our homes. And so we tune them in. We don't want to be caught off guard.
Well, one night Jesus and the disciples found themselves in the middle of the storm. And for me, this miracle story, just it reads like life to me. I mean, how many times that one day, or no, not even one day, one second, everything seems to be going along just the way you think it ought to be going along, and that we've got things in control, and then all of a sudden we realize, wow, we nothing's in control. We're in the midst of a storm as well. I mean, out of nowhere, so often they come up. I don't know about you, but, well, and I've never been to Israel, I confess it, never been on the Sea of Galilee. But for me, this miracle story of Jesus calming the storm is one of my favorite stories of all of the New Testament. I'm going to read from Mark's version, Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 35, if you'd please stand for the reading of the word this morning. That day when evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." You may be seated. Notice how they ended it. Who is this? I mean, that was that night on that boat, that was the question. Who is this that this man can control such a powerful force of nature? Now, it's not going to be all that long that Jesus will turn that very question right back to the disciples, right? Outside of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus will then say, "Well, who do you say that I am? I know what other people, but who do you say that I am?" But for this night, or for that night, they were wondering and they were trying to figure out who on earth it could be that they were in that boat with that particular night. And for you Mark scholars out there, you know that that is the preeminent question that the gospel writer seeks to answer in his gospel. Who is Jesus? And at this point in the gospel, only four chapters in, we know that the demons absolutely know who Jesus is. They have no doubt in their mind who he is. He's the Son of God. Now the disciples, that's another story. They're still trying to figure out. But let's be fair with them this morning. The pieces of the Jesus puzzle sometimes they don't make any sense. They don't fit together very well. Even in this very story, think about the contrast that we get. I mean, we're talking about Jesus standing up, waking up in the middle of that boat and saying, "Peace be still," and the storm's over. I mean, that's God, right? Now, we know what a miracle is from last week. That's something that only God can do. And I'm telling you this morning that that's something that only God can do is what Jesus did that night. That's the Son of God. But in the very story, we've got tired, worn out Jesus sleeping. Wait a minute, that don't make sense. I mean, God don't sleep, right? We said, Psalm 21, "I lift up my eyes to the hills, whence cometh my help?" Where's my help come from? Well, it comes from the Lord, and the Lord neither slumber, or he doesn't slumber, nor does he sleep. I mean, the incarnation never makes sense, does it? The truth is, how can Jesus be all human and all God and all at the same time? And the bottom line is, we have to accept the incarnation by faith. That's the only way we can deal with it. So we see both the human side of Jesus. He's tired and worn out. We see the divine side of Jesus. And here he is. He's so tired. I mean, he's going to grab a few Z's, right? And why not? I mean, Peter and Andrew, James and John, they're fishermen. They've been on the Sea of Galilee many years. Hey, it's a short little sail to the other side. Why not get some sleep? And that night, everything was going along just fine until out of nowhere, the storm came calling. And it wasn't just a little bitty rainstorm. It was a very severe storm. It was a hurricane type storm, according to Mark's gospel. It was a storm that just kept building in severity. getting worse and worse and worse until the disciples, they knew that the boat was in jeopardy, it was going to sink. They knew that the grim reaper had come calling for them that night. And all the while, Jesus slept. I mean, I got to think he was really tired, right? Because I don't know about you, but a howling wind is pretty loud. And think about the rain hitting the boat and the waves slapping up against it, and yet Jesus is sleeping. And when enough was enough, the disciples went to him and they woke him up. Now, isn't it interesting that a group of fishermen went to a carpenter to help them out of their situation? But the truth is, and they didn't wake Jesus up because they knew he was going to say, "Peace be still." They woke him up because, well, I think they woke him up to tell him they were all getting ready to die, including him. Don't you care that we're going to die? Well, yes, of course, Jesus cared. And as powerful as that storm was, and I, you know, as I said earlier, I guess I misspoke earlier, didn't I? I don't know if you caught it or not. I said no one can control the storm. Well, scratch that. There is one person that can control any and every storm that is out there, whether it's a physical storm or a spiritual storm or any other kind, and that's Jesus. Because when Jesus says, "Peace, be still," I'm here to tell you, that storm is done. He is the greatest storm killer that ever will be. All right? There just is no words to describe Jesus. I mean, when you begin to understand the power that he had. I mean, we know how powerful nature is, and yet three words, and that was it. And of course the disciples were afraid. No, they were afraid they were going to die at first, but then they're afraid. Look, there's... They're in the presence of that kind of power. Tell me you wouldn't be afraid. Man, they went from being afraid to being terrified. Who is this? Who are we in the boat with this night? And I got to tell you again, man, I just see life wrapped up in this story, don't you? I've seen this story played out in my life too many times. Cruising along and everything's going just fine, and then boom, boom, before I can figure out what's going on, there I am in the middle of some storm. Sometimes we can see the clouds gather and you kind of, yeah, I think it's going to get dicey. But sometimes you just don't. Sometimes there's no warnings. It'd be great if there's some sort of a spiritual app we could download and say, yeah, you're getting ready to get a storm. Start preparing right now because it's coming. I mean, it'd be great, but there isn't such a thing. You know, I don't know about you, but haven't you ever been laying there flat on your back when you were standing just a second ago saying, how'd I get down here? Like the rug pulled out from underneath your feet, and there you are looking up. And storms come, and some of them are financial storms. I got to, you know, with the stock market doing what it did the last part of the week, I got to believe there's a lot of people caught up in a financial spiritual storm or a financial storm right now. They're all upset and worried, and they can't figure out what to do. But you know what? My security and my future isn't based on what the Dow Jones does. I believe God made a promise to me to meet my every need, so I'm banking on God. But there's a lot of people today that aren't, and they're in the midst of a financial storm. Some storms are medical, and that is, and you know this is true because you probably either know it maybe didn't happen to you. I mean, one day everything's fine, and the very day, whether it's an accident or a diagnosis, all of a sudden your world is turned upside down by some sort of medical issue. I still believe that Jesus can take care of those. Some storms swirl around our family members, and those are maybe of the worst kind. You see things going on in their life, and you're just hurting for them. And some storms are spiritual as well. Look, I can't say the type of storm that you're in the midst of or that's coming, but what I can say is that storms come in life. And they truly do have the potential to begin to shake our faith, just like it shook the faith of the disciples. I mean, we can find ourselves asking, you know, where is God and why isn't God doing something? And God, why don't you care? Why don't you care about what's happening to me? I mean, we don't like to, but when storms come, and we often deny this and we try not to admit it, but when storms come, we have to admit, and they remind us that we are not in control. Now, Jesus told a whole bunch of stories throughout his earthly ministry. And in Luke 12, he told a story about a man that thought he had everything under control. Man, every crop he planted was a bumper crop. In fact, his barns couldn't be big enough, so he built even more barns to put more crops in, and everything's going good. and he was oblivious to the fact that the storm cloud of death was coming for him. See, when the storms come, we realize I'm not in control. So when the storms come, what do we have a choice. We can either live in despair, or we can hang on to faith. See, because faith is what keeps us trusting in God. That somehow we really believe that God is in control, that God is going to take care of us. You know, in hurricane country, they generally at the beginning of the season, they send out this hurricane preparation checklist, you know, and they tell you all the things you need to do in order to prepare before the hurricane shows up, right? Because it doesn't make any sense to wait till it gets there to try to prepare. Well, that's good advice for a hurricane, but it's even better advice for life storms. And we prepare ourselves for the storms that come by growing in our relationship with God before the storm gets there. Because when the storms hit, we realize, well, we're just trying to hang on with all that we are. You know, when the storms come, I don't want somebody to feel sorry for me. I want God to help me. When the storms are raging, I know all I can do is hang on to God with all that I can. I just want God to come through. And we can put our faith in a lot of different people and places today, but I'm voting for Jesus. And I'm thankful. Man, am I thankful that our faith does not have to be perfect when the storms come. The disciples' faith in this story was not perfect. Jesus even, you know, do you still have no faith? Or think about the man that brought his son to Jesus to be healed, and Jesus said, everything is possible to him who believes, and the man just confessed it right up front. He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I'm trying to believe, but I know that I've got some doubt. But you know what? Jesus still honored that man's faith, even though it was not perfect. And that's great to know that when I lose my grip, when my faith isn't as strong as it ought to be, I know that Jesus is never going to lose his grip on me. And I need to know that. I need to know that Jesus can calm the storms regardless of how strong they become. In spiritual matters, though, I think we're just slow learners. I mean, how many times has Jesus come through for you before, and how many times do we still question him every time the storm shows up? I mean, we know he's there. He knows that he loves us. We know that he's going to take care of our every need, and yet we often wonder, is he going to come through for us this time? We ought to know better. We ought to know better, because of Calvary. Back in June 1995, Air Force Captain Scott O'Grady was shot down over Bosnia by a surface-to-air missile that hit his F-16 jet that he was flying. Now, he survived for 6 days on the run. He had that survival training that they all go through, and so he knew what bugs to eat, and he knew how to squeeze the rain water out of his socks. I'm thinking that wouldn't taste too good, but you know, keeps you alive. Well, for 6 days, he's surviving now. He's on the run. I mean, you know, the enemy's after him. And all he's got is this little handheld radio, but it doesn't have a signal strength that goes very far. And so every night when he could, he would turn it on for a little bit and just, you know, hope and pray that there would be another jet close enough that would pick up that signal, because it wouldn't go very far. He's on his sixth night. Hypothermia is beginning to set in. I mean, things are getting dicey. The battery on the walkie-talkie is getting low. And finally, there's another jet that picks up his signal. And they now know where he is. And you know what? The Air Force didn't say, you know, hey, it's only one. But they jeopardized millions of dollars and other men to go in and rescue. They would not spare any expense to save him once they knew where he was. In a much greater sense, think about how that God spared no expense to save us. It didn't matter that we made our own mess. All right? It didn't matter. See, that's what Calvary shouts. It shouts our forgiveness, but it also shouts that God will spare no expense to save us. I mean, there's an old legend. In fact, the little video, I showed it because it kind of goes along with the old legend of this morning. It says there's an old legend, a man fell into quicksand and he's sinking. Now, in quicksand, the harder you fight to get out, the faster you sink and the more in trouble you get, right? You can't get yourself out. And so as legend goes, Confucius came by and said, you know, it's evident from that man's circumstance that you ought to stay out of such places than that. And Confucius would be right. There's a lot of places we ought to stay out, but he didn't do anything to help. Then Buddha came by and said, you know what? That man's plight should be a lesson to all the world. And that is true as well. Sometimes we ought to learn from others, but he didn't do anything to help. Muhammad came by and said, "This is the will of Allah for you." And he did nothing to help the man. But thankfully, when Jesus came along, he reached out his hand and he took the man and he lifted him out. That's what Jesus does to us every time we find ourselves in trouble. Does Jesus care what we're going through? Yes, he does. Can he help? Absolutely, he can help. God spared no expense to save us, and we can have faith that God will not let us down, even if we find ourselves letting God down. All we have to do is reach out and take the hand of Jesus, which is always extended to us. And then he'll take us through whatever storm comes. He may take the storm away, or he may take you through it, but it'll be okay. Now, as wonderful as these three words are, and I love this, you know, that idea of peace be still and storm over. I mean, I got to tell you, I really like that part of the story. But that's not the main point of the story. The main point of the story has to do with the question, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? See, they had a choice to make. They've got to answer their own question, don't they? And if you read Mark's gospel, you'll know exactly how Mark answers the question for you. But the truth is, it doesn't matter how anybody else answers that question today. The truth is, we each have to answer that question for ourselves. We each in turn have to make the choice. Are we going to reach out and take hold of the hand of Jesus that has reached out to lift us out of the pit of our sin and our failures? Now, we can stay in the pit. That's our choice. Or we can take hold of those nail-scarred hands and he will lift us out. That's the point of the story. It's more than just a nice old happily ever live. Everybody lived happily ever after. The truth is, I can tell you about Jesus. I can tell you that he calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. I can even tell you that he's calmed storms in my own life. But that's never good enough. You've got to decide what to do with him for yourself. Look, we can put our faith in a lot of places, and we can put our faith in a lot of people, but I vote for Jesus. The question is, what about you? How do you vote this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we bow before you. And we freely acknowledge that our faith is never all that it should be. In fact, Lord, we're almost embarrassed at the times that our faith has been so weak when it ought to be strong. Lord, we confess that too many times, just like the disciples, we're wondering if you really care. When Lord, that should have been settled, it should have been settled long ago. Lord, as we look at our lives through Calvary, as we look at our lives through you, help us, Lord, that our faith might grow and be strengthened this morning. Lord, we pray that in this moment of honesty with you, we pray that you would just simply strengthen our faith, that we might live closer to you this week than we've lived before. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing this morning. And in your mind, you've got to see the risen Lord reaching out his hand simply to take your hand this morning.
Our song of invitation this morning is hymn number 368, All for Jesus, All for Jesus. It may truly be our prayer. We give all to him because he gave all for us. 368.
So try it this week. Every time you find yourself in a conversation about the weather, turn it to God. Just try it. If you're going to say, boy, it's hot out today, then figure out, get God in the sentence. Or, boy, we sure need more rain, get God in the sentence. Every time you want to talk about the weather, talk about the Lord. Amen. May God bless you.
Make me a blessing. That should be our prayer as we leave the worship center. Minute, please. Rest of you are dismissed, and may God bless you to meet again.